He was alive too. Book are wonderful. All the teaching is good, but it's good to have straight communication with somebody in his body right now. And that's give me something.
I agree. That's cool.
Good energy. And some reference too.
Okay. I just wanted to share a screen real quick because it is Maharaj's. We're coming up and we won't have a meeting again until. Whoop, not that one. There we go. Maharaj is, this is his August 31st, will be the anniversary, so to speak. I think it's called Punyathi or something like that. I don't know exactly.
Punja.
I don't know. It's called something, but I don't know.
Oh shoot.
That's okay.
We had it already. Let's see, it's called there it is. Punyatithi. And the first one was on 8/20/19, but Maharaj actually Mahasamadhi was 8/31.
That's the word I was thinking of, Mahasamadhi. Yep.
Yes, Mahasamadhi was 8/31. So I had to find Ramka Maharshi to say. I was going to have all this ready, but I didn't. And then here it is. So yeah, Mahasamadhi, 8/31. And that was just because, and this was his first Punyatithi. And I may not be saying that right. And then the Samadhi installation was July 8th of 2019. And that was the new thing in the ashram. So as the master, and then I wanted to do for remembrance of when I was sitting at the master's feet when he was in body form. And that's it. I just wanted to pay. I felt an overwhelming desire to do that. And I asked Rami to look for WhatsApp to see, because I wanted to share the videos of, you know, on YouTube about the celebration and ceremony that's going on. So Rami is looking into doing that. Jai Sadhguru.
Something I've been thinking a lot about a lot lately is what a phrase that struck me years ago, and I've kind of followed it again and again, is when Master says the highest knowledge is no knowledge. And I just find that to be such an amazingly like clear pointer. I'm sure everyone already like, you know, has read that and whatnot, but for me, it like unlocks so much because I had been stockpiling my whole life that intellectual knowledge. And it was like being a master of menus and never getting to taste any of the, you know, the sweetness of the food.
Yes. Yeah, the master has said, true knowledge is knowing yourself in a real sense. True spirituality is knowing yourself in a real sense. And after knowing yourself in a real sense, then all these body-based concepts and this body-based knowledge and the books and all the teachings and all of that, they're seen to be, okay, that was all within the bubble of illusion. I know myself in a real sense. And I've been collecting fake notes. At one time, I thought I was a billionaire because of all the notes I had collected. But then Master came and said, all those notes that you've been collecting, they're fake notes. They're basically useless. So the longer you hold on to these fake notes, the further away from reality you'll be. Because you're still going to think, I can spend this. I've accumulated this. This has some worth. But the only thing that has worth is your own selfless self. And you know yourself in a real sense. And that's it. Then you can see, oh, all these books, all these masters, everything was pointing to this. Know myself in a real sense. Spend some time with you. Now I don't need to go anywhere. Do I need to make a trip to India? No. Do I need to see any other masters? No. Do I need to do anything at all to enhance my spirituality or somehow get to a new level? No. And there's peace. Because this I that I believed I was is no longer disturbing that peace that I am.
How much would you say that changes the way of you act throughout the day? For instance, if you're thinking of something to do, you don't have any, and you just decide to turn on the TV and get lost in the TV program.
Do you need to think to turn on the TV and turn on the TV program? Oh, and yeah. Who is, if you could, every time you ask a question, think about if I was to draw the form of the one asking the question. And if you can draw a form to the one who's asking the question, or the answer would seemingly benefit that one to whom a form could be drawn as the questioner, then the best is to remain with yourself.
I mean, would you then not turn on the TV?
Spontaneous action in the moment. I mean, there are schedules to TV. Like, I know Wednesday, I started watching She-Hulk. So I know Wednesday I can turn into Disney and She-Hulk will be there. But there's no me that needs to be involved. I don't have to put on a John to watch the show. Or like Andor. They've been advertising that Andor in Star Wars is coming out on Disney Plus tomorrow. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this show. And tomorrow I'll sit in my chair and turn on the TV and there will be Andor because there was a schedule. But there's no you that has to do. It's not like, you know, you're trying to equate the bodily sort of movements, actions, flow.
Well, the desire, a person. The desires.
Yeah, but it's not a desire desire. A desire desire is, let's say, oh, you know, this girl's very pretty. If I could just get with this woman, I know my life would change and I would be so happy and I could have children with this person and I would be all the, these is like a desire. Or desire for, oh, look, shopping. I want this. Oh my God, I really want this. And your mind is saying, oh my God, what I would do to do this. And advertisers, it's their job in the illusory existence to plant this desire in you, to make it so that you are saying, I need this. I want this. All the advertisements, all TV is saying, to be happy, drive this car. Look at these very happy people as they sip on the latest beverage that's colored and has, you know, this percentage alcohol in it. Or look at all these happy people over here that are enjoying this one specific activity. You should too. Or look at all these very happy people who've lost all this weight and they're in the dieting program. Look how happy they are. But that's a desire.
I'd say I desire to go to turn on the TV or desire to go to a rock show.
Okay, you get up. It's not so much desire. See, desire brings in the pain and pleasure principle. Now, if you continuously, let's say you just spent all your money on rock shows and you were destroying yourself, as Maharaj says, anything to excess is poison. So if you suddenly said, I have to go to this rock show and, you know, I look at my bank account and I'm like, well, I have the mortgage is due and this car payment is due, but I really have to go to this rock show. Then that's a desire that's poison because you are starting to do things to excess. Everything in balance. While you're in this illusory body-based existence, but you absolutely know, I am not this body. There is no person. I'm using this body in the moment for spontaneous activity and to enjoy myself, knowing myself. And the enjoyment is only within the bubble of illusion. So I don't need to cling to this. Nor am I disturbed if I go to the show and, oh my God, there's a long line and I can't get in. They shut the door. They say, no, you can't get in. If it's desire, you climb the fence. You see where this is going? Like, you're wanting something so badly because you believe that A, you're something, and B, that this other something can provide pleasure for you.
Well, you wouldn't go to the show unless you thought it could provide pleasure.
But again, we're talking about everything to excess is poison. If you occasionally go to a show, okay, so what? I watch a lot of TV. I follow different, like Game of Thrones has a House of the Dragon on right now. I enjoy that. I watched Sandman on Netflix. I enjoyed that very much. TV is entertainment. Basically, this entire world is entertainment for the beingness while you're with it, so to speak, you know? But you don't do anything to excess. And you don't take the touch of, I am the doer. This needs to be done. Even in your daily job, you don't lose yourself to do your job.
You're staying in the moment
with your selfless self. There's a difference. A lot of people say stay in the moment or the now or whatever. But this, again, you have to be something in that space time. You're identifying with an object in space to say, I'm here now.
Right.
Reality is you're just here. Just I. Oh, look, there's, something needs to be done. Okay, doing this thing. And it's finished. Again, if I want this Maharaj, this most beautiful example for non-doership. If I want to enjoy this tea, I pick up the cup. I sip. And that's it. Then I put the cup down. Tomorrow, I won't be thinking about this tea. It's finished. Spontaneous action in the moment. Yet, of course, if I want to enjoy tea, I have to pick up this cup. How else is the formlessness going to enjoy this tea? This body is an instrument. Pick up the cup. Drink the tea. The body has senses, so the tongue can start to taste. There's a taste sensation. Because the body is available, the formlessness that's holding the body is able to experience taste, is able to experience hearing, seeing, providing the faculty. And there's no experience, no experiencer, because again, I enjoy TV. TV is off right now. When I press the on button, power goes to the TV. TV is on. Images show up. The TV doesn't say, hey, I don't like showing Game of Thrones. It's a little bit violent. I would prefer, let's look at a family channel. TV doesn't say this. It's the instrument. The power is provided. The instrument is there. The TV doesn't believe it's doing anything. You could leave your TV on all night long and there's no complaining. Like, oh, no, you know what? Too much. I'm finished. Don't want to play this anymore. And this body is an inanimate body powered by the presence. The formless presence that you are provides power and energy to this body and this whole world. Because all of this world is within the bubble of illusion, within the presence itself. A projection on spontaneous presence. It's only the layers of illusion that cause you to believe in the sense of doership, the sense of individuality, the sense of what do I do when I want to go and enjoy myself at a rock concert or whatever. What you do is you buy a ticket, get in the car, drive, enjoy the concert, get in the car, drive home. You have a body available. Just as the same as tea. Pick up the tea, drink the tea, put it down. Get in the car, go to the concert, come home.
But if something goes wrong and interferes, say you're going to a concert and something interferes with it, traffic or something, and you
remain with yourself as self. There will not be a disturbance. Try this. Even as Keith trying to remain with his selfless self, it will reduce the disturbance of whatever Keith believes is happening, because all your problems are illusory based on one wrong concept. I am somebody. So remaining with your selfless self, traffic is not traffic. The line waiting to get into the concert is not the line. Even if it's pouring down rain, you'll know, oh, this body's getting wet, these clothes are getting wet, but I am not. So anytime you reach a disturbance, you should, if you're still believing that Keith is having a disturbance, thank you, Master, thank you. Your teaching could not be put to use had there not been this disturbance. The answer to every problem, the answer to every disturbance, remain with my selfless self. I use mantra, and I remain. And that's it. I don't worry about the disturbance because there's no one there to be disturbed. If I erase the one that I believe is disturbed, then where can the disturbance hang its hat? And that illusory one that's being disturbed by illusory problems is quite simply, again, disturbing the peace that you are. Every time there's even the modest disturbance, thank you, Master. Because let's face it, if the Master gave all these teachings and you never were disturbed and you lived on the mountaintop in total perfect peace and everything was beautiful, you might remain like that for 10 years until a bird comes and takes a dump on you and you're like, oh my God, because you did not get to practice. You did not get to put into action what the Master has said. The earnestness was not there to remain with my selfless self. This disturbance, I'm having this fire. I need to remain with my selfless self. And this was seen firsthand in the ashram with the geckos and with the different foods and all this sort of stuff. And I loved, again, like I exploded. I was like, oh my God, I cannot eat these vegetables food anymore. And there's geckos roaming around my room and all this kind of stuff. And Maharaj was just like, we can change your room if you like. We move it upstairs. This is an example. And it was such an example that I felt silly. You know, had there been some resistance, but I felt silly because Maharaj is just like, okay, if you don't like, we can move you upstairs. And afterwards, when we were having satsang after the bhajan, I actually was apologizing. I said, Maharaj, I'm sorry. It got very built. He says, this happens. This happens. It builds, and then a release, and then it's gone. And eventually you'll know within your own selfless self that it can't build because there's no builder. There's no one there for this. There's no pot to boil because there's no pot. I mean, think about that. If you take a tea kettle, it's closed and has just a little hole. When it starts to boil, it starts to whistle and all this sort of stuff. But if it's an open, because there's no resistance, there's nothing in the way, then this tea is never going to whistle. This is never going to build. There's no cork in the bottle. There's nothing that says, I want it to be this way. Because there's no I in the way. And with meditation, remain with yourself as self. We all, I'm sure, in the meditation have sensed that just I, that very, very subtle presence. This is the small plant that Master has given you to water. Like he says, I've planted the seed of selfless self. Now it's up to you to water it, provide sunlight, and let this plant grow into a big tree, the tree of conviction. I am that. So that I am that. The water is the bhajan, remaining with your selfless self, seeing all disturbances as only time to remain with your selfless self, to use mantra, to use the master, to grow this seed of selfless self within yourself. Master planted. And just like you go to the store and you buy this lovely plant, like especially IKEA was good for this. They have this very nice little plant. It's so beautiful. You bring it home, but if you don't water it, you don't give it sun, it's no longer beautiful. It wilts, it dies. And then probably as it's dying, you pour a lot of water on. Oh yeah, okay, you know what? I'm very disturbed. Let me put a lot of bhajan. Let me put more master's teaching. Let me remain with myself during this time. However, if you brought the seed And you water a little bit every day, a little bit bhajans, devotion starts to grow. Eventually, devotion, bhajan, remain with your selfless self, mantra becomes habit, and the seed grows and grows. And as you start to experience this growth, that's like the nectar of immortality. You're sipping on this nectar of immortality. Just I. And this seed grows into a great tree. Then that way, when the wind blows, this tree doesn't move. As a small sapling, this tree could bend and move. As the tree grew, it might still bend and move, depending on how big the wind. But now it's a mighty oak. Short of an earthquake, opening up the ground and having this oak fall into it, there's nothing that can disturb this mighty oak, this conviction. So that I am that. What are you doing with your seed that Master planted? This meeting will end in 10 minutes.
Well, now I have a new Star Wars show to watch.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but just the metaphor of the video game, because I often think of that, like reality is just rendering, you know, I often think it's so real, but it's not, it's all, I mean, strings vibrating.
Exactly.
Patterns playing out in like the, but I'm the projector of them.
And the screen is not flat. That's why a lot of people, when they're saying, oh, it's on the screen is presence. So screen is three-dimensional, basically. It's not a flat screen where you say images or whatever. This is the screen. Presence is formless. All the images that are dancing, all the activities that are going on, all the various things that seem to be happening are occurring on the screen. Alexa, turn on living room light number two, please.
Okay.
There we go. Oh, no, that's not good. I saw it getting really, really dark. And now the light is worse. Alexa, turn off living room light number two, please.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Selfless self out there speaking.
Indeed.
That was like a computer voice that doesn't have a will of its own or self. Could you say the same thing about my own voice?
Speaking is happening. Yeah. I'm quite sure she doesn't take any sense of doership. And yet the power that powers that is the same that powers these bodies. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj, somebody asked him about a rock. Does a rock have consciousness? He said, of course, because you're within the bubble of illusion. All there is consciousness within your own dream at night. Everything is sentient because it's within the bubble of illusion, the consciousness, the dream consciousness, coming out formlessly, creating form. So, yes, the rock has consciousness. There's no consciousness of I am.
It's made of consciousness, like they're saying.
With everything. I mean, I think in your dream. In your dream, what is not made by consciousness?
Can't be there otherwise.
Of course. That's why you just asked, oh, is it the same when I'm speaking? At nighttime, you may be dreaming a dream where many people are speaking.
So it is the same.
But it's one speaker. So you don't have to say there are many people speaking. You could say speaking is happening. Who's speaking to whom? Consciousness is speaking to consciousness within a little dream body form, only because of the concept that I'm an object within this dream. The same as waking, because waking and dream is exactly the same. The thing that separates it is the concept, I am awake or I am dreaming.
You could say hearing and speaking are exactly the same too.
It's coming and going. Yeah, it's just listening and speaking. Speaking and listening. Speaking and listening. The invisible listener is speaking. The invisible speaker is speaking. And it's a puppet show. That's how you can say, like you were saying, oh, what to do if I get irritated with the people or the traffic. It's a puppet show. And again, the most excellent thing is if there is the concept that I can be irritated, thank you, Master. Because I've been given the tools. I can remain with my selfless self. And again, if I'm up on the mountain and I have no disturbances of any kind, nothing comes into my experience, and I say, ah, I've been up on the mountain meditating for 20 years. I am a master. And then I go down and I cannot wait in line for 5 minutes because I have never had practical spirituality.
Give me a plate.
It's been egoistic spirituality. That's why Maharaj says this is practical spirituality. You don't have to go in a cave. You don't have to climb on a mountain. Existence In this everyday moment, spontaneous action in the moment, remaining with yourself with self, as things come in and seem disturbing, what's the answer? Remain with myself with self. Oh, I don't know what to do about this very serious decision. There's no decider. This illusory layer that's been created of a decider deciding and a decision to be made, I remain with myself as self. And then observe as action is occurring in the moment, which will be the right action because you'll be there. Or you could say, okay, well, I'm identified with a body and a decision needs to be made. Master what to do. You know, we know the program says pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. Same thing. Okay, I don't know what to do. Master, guide me, please. Because I'm not taking the leadership. You know, I'm not taking the world on my shoulders and believing that I can somehow create some outcome when I don't even exist. How in the world am I going to create an outcome? So, Master, guide me. And this is easy now because when Maharaj was in body form and this body believed there was another body, I might ask Master on WhatsApp, or I might fly to India because I need to spend time with the Master going over these details. But what a silliness that is, because in reality, Master is formless presence. Master knows I'm formless presence. So he sees, okay, John wants to chat on WhatsApp. It's fine. I respond. This is good. But the same can be done just here. And now that Master is no longer in body form, then there's no concept. There's no mind that says, hey, let's go on WhatsApp, spend some time with the Master chatting, or let's fly to India. And then we think it's spirituality. It's like, yes, I'm going to buy a ticket and fly to India and be with the Master. No. Master is here.